it really requires a certain level of commitment and dedication to standing in the fire to be successful, period. And yeah. I think that the majority of people on this planet are not willing to really stand in the fire or to really stand in the discomfort as a race of humans on this planet. Like, we want instant gratification. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We will quickly move to something that is less uncomfortable, even when we know that that's not in our highest and best good.
This is Leah Steele. Welcome to the Wealth Witch podcast. Just a few years ago, I experienced complete financial collapse. We lost a business, our home, and a car. My husband was selling plasma to pay for diapers and formula. I was living a life I hated, and I was miserable. It was the lowest part of my life. It ended up being my biggest blessing. Just a few short years later, I've designed the life of my dreams. I live a life of luxury in beautiful Bali, Indonesia, travel the world, and spend my days helping others manifest wealth and abundance. Living a purpose-led life changed everything for me. This podcast is about my journey, my top tips and tools for manifestation, and interviews with all the amazing, world-changing, inspiring people I meet along the way. Welcome to my world.
Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Witch podcast. I am your host, Leah Steele, and I am really over the moon today, excited to be joined by my friend and just this incredible, incredible force in the world, Sigourney Weldon. She is an international best-selling author, spiritual teacher, and leader. And she's also founder of the Wild Grace Movement and Dark Empire. Sig, I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, Leah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that I love about you is just your realness, your ability to be raw, your ability to show up unapologetically as who you are and say the things that are on your mind. I think one of the things that I love about you that I feel that we share is your prophetic nature. And I love that you're actually not afraid to be that prophetess. I love that you aren't afraid to share the things that you see coming in the world and the things that you know to be true. So I welcome you all wisdom and knowledge on the podcast. And I'm just excited for my listeners to get to know you and sort of what you've got on at the moment. And yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like people know me as the death girl. You know, as someone with like five planets and Scorpio in my charts, I'm like always in this process of death. And I was just reflecting on what I was going to share around that. I'm like, oh, I'm in a pretty strong death phase in my life at the moment. I'm like, hang on a second. Sounds like I'm on repeat. But yeah, I'm currently in a 6-week mystery school training, studying esoteric soul initiation work. And with that, like entering the container, I've had some pretty strong reflections actually around how I run my own containers and what it actually takes to be initiated into soul. And like in the process of leading up to coming into this container, I like actually had my whole business collapse. And I'm in this container now and I can feel all of these things underneath me like crumbling and falling away. And it's actually quite painful. And that's usually the process that I support other people in, is like the crumbling away and the falling away of anything that is not authentic to soul. And it's just ironic that I'm actually journeying that so strongly myself at the moment. And yeah, like I had some reservations coming on here. I'm like, speaking about wealth, like I'm actually going through one of the biggest, you know, and it's actually perfect, but I'm going through one of the biggest restructurings around wealth and abundance that I've ever been through at the moment. And yeah, so in my life at the moment, a lot of crumbling, a lot of falling away, and I can feel like I'm currently, I can feel kind of what's coming, which is making me feel better about the process a little bit. But also I'm trying not to like move towards that, you know, I'm trying to just actually allow it to all completely fall away. So what wants to emerge can emerge out of purity instead of me trying to get somewhere, because this is really uncomfortable. So that's me, that's where I'm at. And yeah, like I'm having a lot of wisdom come through around business and around what's to come for business at the moment with the changes that are happening in my own. So if I can shed some light on that.
Amazing. So what do you see as, you know, I think it's interesting because people move through processes differently. What was the catalyst for things shifting for you at this phase in your journey?
Yeah, really, it was locking in a new trajectory for myself. So about 2 months ago, maybe, I got signed to a massive US publisher in the States. And the commitment to that and the commitment to the vision that came with that meant that, like, I could feel actually what was out of alignment in my business currently and, like, what actually had to change. And yeah, organically, it's been quite interesting because I've been like, oh, these couple of people in my business actually aren't in resonance with where I'm heading. And then I was like, oh, you know, like, am I going to have to fire them? I feel really uncomfortable. But actually, it organically or naturally fell away. And that's purely because I was just holding that vision with so much intention that actually I'm just holding the frequency of that vision. It all, like, everything else had to organically fall away. So I actually didn't have to do a thing. Didn't make it less painful, but, and I'm still actually in it. But yeah, it's like, I find that when I'm holding a vision so strongly, it's like naturally I actually don't have to do a lot. Like, just the very intention and the holding of that frequency actually pulls in what's needed and actually allows what's not to fall away. And that like all I have to do is allow it. And that actually can be the hardest part sometimes, is to be like, oh, you know, like that has to go. But like, I took so long to establish that. And like, you know, we can go into stories around it, but like, the trusting in the process of how things want to move is one of the hardest things to do, but it always takes you to where you need to be. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting. I often talk about that it really requires a certain level of commitment and dedication to standing in the fire to be successful, period. And yeah. I think that the majority of people on this planet are not willing to really stand in the fire or to really stand in the discomfort. As a race of humans on this planet, like, we want instant gratification. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We will quickly move to something that is less uncomfortable, even when we know that that's not in our highest and best good. And so I love when I see leaders like yourself that are actually willing to sit in places of discomfort, because the truth is that if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, and it's not, and they're not.
100%. Yeah, it requires you to hold a lot of tension in your system, actually. To me, the tension is the disparity between where you are and where you're going. And just knowing that actually has been massively helpful for me. Like, wherever there's a creative process unfolding, wherever we're like actually moving towards a higher vision, there's going to be tension in our system. Like, that's unavoidable. It's one of the reasons actually that I moved away from the tantric scene, because there's a lot of avoidance of like uncomfortability in the pursuit of pleasure, and a lot of like also running the emotional body and like purging it, when actually the emotional body creates a certain charge that can actually be channeled towards a vision. And holding that level of tension in the system, holding a little bit of emotional tension in the system, it's actually really powerful for the creation process. So, and there's times when we also have to emotionally release, because that's actually a block in our system that's getting in the way of where we're going. So it's a really fine line, but also the pursuit of like continuously emotionally releasing and being in our feels and like feeling like there's something wrong if we're feeling some kind of tension in our system, that's actually in the way of like, you know, reaching that bigger vision and actually being able to create that bigger vision for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know me well enough to know that I am not a person that does a lot of embodiment work. I really, you know, tend to reside in my upper and transpersonal chakras. And for me, that tension is absolutely like, it is my fueling force. It is the place that keeps me continually moving towards and you know, achieving the things that most people aren't able to, or having a vision and setting a goal and being able to achieve it is absolutely, I believe, you know, you're right on about that, playing with that emotional tension. And, you know, I'm not great at the embodiment and I'm not great at the feels. And that is really my work to do on this planet, right? Like, it's quite easy for me to stay in the other place. It's actually that embodiment piece that's quite hard, that is my work to do here, my personal work.
Yeah, definitely. And it also depends on how we define embodiment too, because you know, if you're embodying your purpose, that is a form of embodiment, right? Because a lot of the time we're doing embodiment work to actually align with that. But if you're already in alignment with that, then that is in itself, I guess, like embodiment in action. It's a form of embodiment. So yes, and.
I love it. Embodiment in action. Fully taking that on. I'm onboarding that. So, I mean, I love this journey of author that's happened for you over the last year. It's been so inspirational to see how this version of you has just shown up, and you've been so successful, and it's, the books are just flowing through you. And it's such an incredible process to watch you go through that. I would love for you to just speak to that a little bit. And did you always know that you were going to be an author? Is this something new? And, you know, it sounds like this is becoming a really, really major part of the work that you're here to do in the world. So I'd love to hear you just riff on it a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yes, I've always known I'd be an author. Like, that's always been actually my highest vision as a child, like seeing myself in New York writing. And ultimately, I want to end up actually just writing books and that being my living. Like, that's, I'm so deeply passionate about it. And it's the thing that comes to me most easily. Like, I could write all day. And, you know, people are like, how do you write so many posts on Facebook? And I'm like, I can't stop. And if you're an astrology geek, like, I've got five planets in Scorpio in the third house, which is the house of communication. So it just, it's something that is innate in me and comes very naturally to me. And by the end of this year, I would have published 3 books. That's huge. It's massive, actually. And yeah, like, I'd been writing a book for years before that, and I was just kind of fucking around, to be honest. Like, I went to India for 6 months to live to write the book, and just so many insecurities coming up around actually releasing it, and also not really knowing how to get it out there in the world as well. I was going down the path of potentially publishing with Hay House, and just like kind of couldn't really pull myself together to publish a book until start of this year, when I was in a container with Dave, who you know and you've been in a container with. And just having that structure, like, of being in a writing retreat and like feeling like, oh, you know, like, I'm very competitive. I've also got a lot of Mars energy in my chart, so I actually thrive on competition. So being in that environment of being like, everyone's writing a book in a week, I was like, oh, I have to write my book in a week. And then the process of publishing with them was really seamless. So wrote one, published it, did really well, became international bestseller in 6 countries. And I was like, oh, that's actually quite easy. And because once you've got the structure to do something once, it becomes easy to replicate it. It's just the first time that's really challenging. And that's not to say that the second time wasn't hard writing the book. Like, it required so much discipline. It requires so much discipline, as you would know, because I know you're writing your book as well. And, you know, all of your patterns come up. But yeah, it's much easier the second time, and the third time was even easier. So
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about with patterns coming up. Like, my avoidance patterns aren't showing up at all when it comes to my book. Like, I have no clue what you're talking about. But like, I'll just focus on work, like the thing that I do really well, and avoid all the other things. Like, yeah, all the patterns.
Yeah. And even like publishing it, I was like, this is like, you know what? I'm kind of queen of doing things imperfectly and just actually taking action in the moment when I know the right time is there. Like my last book that I published, I knew I had to publish it on September 22nd. To do that, I had to push it through and didn't do edits. And I knew it was like horrible. Like I knew there was so many edits that needed to be done. And I knew that the frequency that was in the book that needed to land on that day. Otherwise, I actually wouldn't have published it and there would have been no point, because what it actually, the message of it was pertinent to the time frame of between now and December 22nd. So I had to get it out there then, otherwise it would have just been a waste. And for me, it was like, it's more about the frequency of the book and what I was actually channeling at the time writing it, and actually imperfectly getting that out there for people to land that, than like actually sitting there and doing edits and making sure the book was perfect. Like I knew that it was more so about just landing a particular vision at that time. So I had to get over my perfectionist qualities. I know that sounds like that would kill you as someone as a Virgo. I mean, I've also got a lot of sixth house energy, which is the house of Virgo. So I am a perfectionist, and also like I get my fucking ass kicked when I do not put something out there in the world that I know is super important. And that's the reason I can show up so much. Actually, it's more painful for me to not put it out there than it is to, yeah, it's just painful actually. So I had no choice in the end.
I mean, that's really incredible. It just shows such a commitment to the craft and to the purpose and to what needs to go out into the world. So did the book contract come on the heels of the most recent book being released, or was that something that was pending prior to?
Yeah, so it was an interesting unfolding of events, actually. I recently went into this stage where I was like, I'm done with being a healer, actually. I'm done with running shamanic containers. Like, I'm sick of being in the fucking underworld. I'm done with it. And I actually did a ritual around closing myself off to being a healer. And I, like, gave my medicine drum away to someone. And I was like, I'm landing and stepping into full-time author. And then at the time, like, I also, my wing, like my smudge fan, I actually lost. And so I called in a raven smudge fan. And what actually happened was that a woman called Raven contacted me and started messaging me, and she's a ghostwriter. And I was talking to her and I was like, I like the idea of having a ghostwriter. Like, yes, I'm a really good writer and I love writing, and it's exhausting. I have so many books wanting to come through me, and I just am incapable in this human body to write them all. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to actually have this next one ghost written, and that way I can actually write the other one that I have going on at the same time and launch them both. So I've actually got another woman writing the book that I'm releasing in December. And what I realized was the raven that I called in, I thought it was going to be a raven wing, was actually the ghostwriter. and that was perfectly aligned with the fact that I just let go of being a healer and called in my author. So it just came in a different form. And she, yeah, it was through her actually that I made the connections with the US connections, and yeah, I've landed this publishing deal. So it was a very synchronistic set of events that happened very quickly, as things do in my world. And as you probably know, when you're aligned with magic and you just deep dive into the mystery and hold an intention and vision, then everything seems to just unfold in a chaotically magical way. So yeah, that's how that happened.
Absolutely. Yep. That's amazing. Well, I'm so excited for you. You've got some new things going on. You've got some new things dropping in for you. I always love having conversations with you about business and about, you know, what you see coming next. I know that there are people in our communities that frequently reach out to the two of us and say, hey, what do you guys see that's coming? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I always love getting your perspective. And so would love to kind of riff with you a little bit on that.
Amazing. You're Sagittarius, aren't you? Sun?
Yeah.
Okay. Curious, yeah, because I'm stellium Scorpio. I was just playing with the idea because I'm in this mystery school at the moment where we're talking about how, you know, the only two entrance points to the galactic center, which is to the monadic self, are through Sagittarius and Scorpio. And it was just on my mind as I was talking to you. I was like, I think you've got a fair bit of Sagittarius in your charts, which is that direct access to void consciousness, right? Or to the space of that enters directly into the darkness and the mystery.
A lot.
Yeah. I've actually forgotten what the question was. Was something about
That's good. Whatever's dropping in needs to be dropping in. I wanted to talk a little bit about business. I wanted to riff a little bit on, you know, what you see coming in this new paradigm and like and how things are going to be showing up differently. I've been talking a fair amount about this in all the places about, you know, what is actually required to be living abundantly in this new timeline. And it is not any of the things that we've been doing before. And so I would love to hear your take on that and where you see things shifting as far as business. You know, I know that both of us really feel strongly that our financials are collapsing right now, and that between now and 2027, you know, we're going to see a massive deconstruction of that. So I would love to just riff with you a little bit on that.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Wealth Witch podcast. I wanted to take a quick break to talk to you about an amazing offer I have to work with me like my high-end clients do for a fraction of the investment. If there's anything that the last several months of chaos and change has showed us, it's that our perceptions of what is safe, stable, and secure is anything but. You are your guarantee. You are the key to unlocking and calling in the wealth that you desire. If you don't already know, I'm all about belief and intention. And for me, deciding is the most important action you can take. So I don't need to convince you. You'll either resonate with this or not. The only prerequisite that you need to have is a desire to change your current financial reality. This mastermind I'm about to tell you about is about empowering you to take back control of your financial destiny and take action towards creating the life that you deeply desire. The Wealth Alchemy Mastermind is hosted via the Telegram app, and I've set it up in a way that it's accessible. This is an incredible opportunity to work with me in this mastermind at a special pre-launch rate of $44 a month. Yes, you heard that right. Just $44 a month to work with me at the same level that some of my high-end clients do. So what do you get? Weekly exclusive content and training, a monthly Zoom coaching call, a monthly Q&A session, wealth paradigm downloads, wealth activations, and a mastermind chat full of like-minded community. You aren't doing this mastermind for the content. You're doing it for the transmissions, period. You will be activated with abundance just by being in this container. But you have to act fast. The pre-launch offer is only available for a limited time, so click the link in the description of the podcast and sign up now. I'd love for you to join me, so do the thing. Now back to the podcast.
I mean, the reason I've planted my next book on December 21st, it's all about the new way of doing business and the business model that I've created as well, which is an intuitive business model, which I actually refer to as a syntropic business model. So I've planted that on December 21st because that's the next great conjunction. So the conjunction between Jupiter-Saturn in Capricorn. We've actually had three this year, and it was one in December 2020. So last year, which actually kick-started COVID. And the whole notion of these conjunctions are that they're all about the collapse of the power and control structures everywhere, but in like particular, we've been seeing it in business, right? I know that when the first one hit, there was a huge collapse of a lot of businesses, and a lot of big CEOs of major companies like walked out. And I remember seeing a post about it, like it was just like so many big companies went down. And so, yeah, like what I see to be is like the feminine rising initially, but ultimately it's like coming back into a state of like trying to bring the earth into a state of syntropy. And if we look at syntropy, it's the opposite of entropy. And entropy is when there's like stagnancy in a system. And basically the systems that we've got set up right now, there's a lot of stagnancy. Like people are showing up to jobs they hate. They're in like hierarchical power control structures where they're doing things they don't want to be doing. They're in times like working 9 to 5s. Like it's a very inorganic way of doing anything. And it's completely, entirely against the way that nature works. Like, nature doesn't fit itself into a 9-to-5 box 5 days a week. Like, it is like one moment, like, there's a storm arising, the next moment it might be like sunshine. It's like, it is organic, right? And the way that I see that things need to move are to a more organic way of being, where actually, like, the most organic way of being is to align with your soul and actually be completely authentic to that and what is arising in the moment, and actually action that, and then have structures set up to support soul as opposed to constrict soul. So it's going to require us to actually create models that have fluidity, that there's still structure that we can work with, but it actually allows for a lot of creative innovation. And also to create teams as well that are aligned to a more intuitive way of doing things. Like, for example, for me, this year, a lot of my, like, what I've seen fall away is, like, in any area of my business where there's not someone that's fully aligned to the way that I do business, which is from a deep space of ritual magic and through connection to the mystery and channeling, if there's not someone that's in my business that's attuned to that, the way that I do things, then it creates disharmony in the business. So there's someone wanting to fit my work into a marketing message that doesn't actually fit with the soul of who I am, then it's actually going to create great friction in my business, which throws my whole business out. It throws me out. You know, it's like, if you're working, like, they've always said that the shaman at the center of the tribe, if they're out, the whole ecosystem's out. And simultaneously, if something's out in one person in the ecosystem, then the shamans, they feel it. Like, they become creatively stuck, they become tense, they become constricted. So for me, as someone like that needs to actually be continually in a state of syntropy and, like, in flow creatively, I can't afford to get stuck, because then my whole business just stops. Because the way that I work is I'm shamanic. Like, that's the way that I work. And so, like, I'm connected to everything in my business so intricately and through different, like, the subtle layers, that if something's stuck in one area or one person in my team, then I feel it directly in my own body. Because there's a, like, there's an enmeshment and there's a merging, and it's an ecosystem, right? This is why I call it syntropic and refer it to, like, it's similar to syntropic agroforestry or syntropic farming, where they actually set up syntropic farms so that it can flow and different plants feed one another, and there's actually no input that's needed. You don't need to add anything to it because it actually just works by itself. And the way that I see that that can happen is through genius alignment. It's like everyone in the business needs to be channeling their own genius. And they need to have a central connection to the central channel that's coming through. For example, that's me in my business. I'm the one that's channeling through the information. So they need to have a connection to me. They need to know the way that I work. They need to be connected to my intuitive processes. But they also need to be in their individual genius. And if those things are in place, then this is just such a beautiful weaving that can create so much expansion. Where things have gone wrong in my business in the past is actually people have been drawn to me as a person and what I hold and the power that I hold in my business, and I haven't been connected to the individual genius. And so there's been this uneven power distribution. And what actually happens in my field is that because I'm so committed to truth and to individual genius, that actually someone working alongside me, if they're not yet already in that, they will step into that. And recently I actually had to let go of a whole bunch of people because I elevated them into their genius. It wasn't aligned with the business anymore. They actually need to step into their own business, which is beautiful. And I was like, oh, I need people to step into my business that are already in their sovereign genius. I don't actually need to fuel or give them anything. They're just coming in with that piece already, and we're just weaving together. So that has been a huge shift for me recently in my business, is to really acknowledge that I can't unhealthily mother anyone anymore. I'm not going to save anyone. I'm not going to do the work for anyone. I'm actually just only going to bring people into my business that already have that piece. And then I don't actually have to fit, like, there's no unhealthy power dynamics, and we can actually just co-create. and it can be joyous and it can be fun, and actually we can weave some serious magic together. So yeah, the way that I see things moving is to a more organic way of doing things. And in order for that to actually emerge and to happen, then all of the ways that that's not happening at the moment, and all the ways we are individually disconnected from our soul, that it all has to collapse and fall away so that the individual can reclaim that part and then weave back into a system that actually feels aligned to them.
Yeah, I love that. It's so interesting because that, you know, the word that I have been speaking for months now, like if you are trying to be rigid in old systems and structures and ways of doing things, like there isn't an opportunity for success in this new timeline. There isn't an opportunity for abundance or prosperity of any kind, because it is about fluidity. It is about meeting people where they're at as we continue to transition and change. Because the truth is that we haven't seen anything yet. And we're moving into a year in 2021 where we are going to see massive conflict, massive chaos, and massive change. And how do we survive through change? By being fluid and adapting. And so for me and my business, that's what it's been about, you know, over the last, really throughout 2020, but really embracing that fluidity, I think, is what for me has made this year so successful.
Yep. And it's going to become more screamingly obvious when you're not doing that. I find it's like, because we're expanding into more of a quantum like reality, actually, and which it is more subtle. It means that when there's any density in the system, it's going to be more screamingly loud. Because our systems are less dense than they ever have been, you know, and they're only becoming lighter. And we're becoming more attuned. Even those that are unaware of like that happening or aren't conscious of it, it's still happening for them. It's just going to be excruciatingly painful to actually not align with like where we, like our current timeline, basically. Like if we're holding on to a past timeline, it's just going to create so much physical tension in the body.
Yeah. And I don't know how far you are looking into the future and what shift is coming. But for me, you know, I'm feeling a real sense of urgency right now around, again, which I felt very deeply in October through December of 2019, but this real sense of urgency for people to step into purpose. And not only to step into purpose, but also to really begin to take ownership around the programming and conditioning that's happening to them. So beginning to really question everything. And so I feel like there's so much urgency right now. And I would say it feels like 5 months to me. So 5 months from about where we are right now, that we're going to see another tremendous power play from our existing systems and structures that have to do with finance and government. And it's, you know, this thing that you're saying, it's like, absolutely, like we have to be in alignment. We have to be in purpose. We have to be living purpose-led. That is the only way to not get caught up in that manipulation and in that, the control that I see that really is like spinning people back into that old timeline. Or trying to hold them and keep them there, that like that really is done through manipulation. It's done through dividing us as, you know, as a collective. It's done through this election that's happening in the United States right now. But I'd love to hear your thoughts and insight on what's coming, particularly over the next 5 months.
Yeah, there's always things we can distract ourselves with. Hey, there's always something. Yeah, well, I mean, like if we look at what's happening planetarily, Saturn moves into Aquarius from Capricorn December 17th. So Saturn is the planet that rules boundaries, time, constriction. It's really what locks us into 3D physical. And it's in Capricorn, so it's actually at home at the moment. And Capricorn is also the leader. It's the one that actually creates power and control structures. So what I've been speaking about is like it also helps us to build foundations And really between now and December 17th is really a time for us to make sure that our business foundations and structures, because it controls structure, are really set up so that we can have that fluidity and ease, and that the structures support that. Because when December 17th comes and it moves into Aquarius, which is about like higher vision, expansion, it's also about the movement towards community. It's also like it's the archetype of the alien, actually. So it's like the one that sees things from a higher perspective. Once we move into Saturn moves into Aquarius on December 17th, we're actually going to be freed from those power control structures, both externally and internally. And there's going to be deeper freedom available to us. But that's only really if we set ourselves up for that. Like, we could spend this time fucking around and get to that point and not even notice, because we haven't actually worked with the planetary alignments to set ourselves up for what's to come. So the next couple of months is really pertinent, actually, in like really making sure that all of our systems and structures are really set up to support our freedom and expansion as well. Yeah, there's like some big, I'm just going back to that, like a lot of astrologers are saying that point of turning of Saturn into entering Aquarius on December 17th really represents the hallmark of and the landing of the Aquarian age, like fully. So that's kind of what we're moving into. And the Aquarian age is all about, there's a number of things. I'm still receiving a lot around it, but it's going to be entirely different to what we've ever known. What's coming, like the technological advances, like far beyond our current mindset, because Aquarians also are the futurists. They're the ones that see into the future. So the future that's coming is very different to what we know. March to me feels very pivotal. I actually haven't explored what the alignments are in March, but there feels like something really strong coming through then. But next year for me feels like a reaping, like we're reaping the rewards of what we've planted for this year to a certain degree. If we have actually put in the groundwork, it's like, it's essential. I keep feeling that it's like, if we haven't put in the groundwork, next year is going to be chaos. If we have, where there's going to be opportunity for expansion, despite everything that's happening. But this year was really designed for the collapse of power structure, both internally, like where are we holding on to any like control structures internally ourselves, like where are we limiting our own freedom internally, to really deep dive into that, to free ourselves of that, and to also free ourselves of any external control structures that are limiting our freedom as well, for that to actually really start to come through next year. It's not going to come into full fruition next year, but there will definitely be a freeing up of like our bodies and our ability to actually experience more freedom than what we have done this year. Like, this year's been very heavy, but yeah, like there's still a few years to come before we like reap the full rewards of everything that's happening at the moment. Like, at the moment we're just in the breakdown and the death phase, and can be extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I love that. And you still have an incredible opportunity right now to put those systems and stability that really is necessary in this new timeline. I mean, as we move into this new age, so there's still time, but it's running out. And so it's like, you know, if you've been sitting on your ass all year trying to figure out what you want to do, or, you know, saying to yourself, like, oh, I'll do that next month, or oh, I'll do that next year, or, you know, I'll do that when it's more convenient for me. We don't have time for that anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, if it hasn't happened this year, like if this has not been enough for you, what is, you know, like the whole planet is like closing everything down and in for us to have this incredible, incredible opportunity to actually go within and look inside of ourselves to actually be like, what do I truly want? And I believe that's why all of this is actually happening, you know, like we've been just on repeat and in this robotic mode for so long that something had to happen to actually catalyze us into change. And if this year hasn't done it for you, I don't quite understand why not, because it's been catastrophic for many. And yeah, like I also see the beauty in it. I see the beauty in the internalization that like COVID has brought, and this the like closing down of everything has brought, so we can actually come into our inner worlds and like really reassess what it is we actually want for ourselves. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been epic as always. So many amazing, great points of things to reflect on. And, you know, I think vision for where we're headed and where we go next. And so I can't wait for your book that's coming out at the end of the year. And in the description of the podcast, we will have all the places that you can find Sigourney on the interwebs, as well as links to her existing books where you can go to purchase them, and definitely recommend following her work and following, as she says, she posts quite a lot on Facebook, and I always really enjoy and take something away from everything that she posts. So thank you for your time and energy here. I'm so excited that my listeners got a chance and an opportunity to get to know you if they didn't already. And yeah, I'm excited to see what's next for you and to continue journeying with you into the age of Aquarius.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Until next time, this is The Wealth Witch signing off.
That's a wrap. Thank you for joining me. Remember, wealth is a mindset, and you absolutely deserve to live the life you deeply desire. And with belief and intention, you create your reality. Until next time, this is Leah Steele, the Wealth Witch.